This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. How will the U.S. respond to the disappearance of a Saudi journalist who was likely murdered by his own government? Jamal Khashoggi was walking into a Saudi consulate in Turkey. That's the last time anyone had seen him. That was more than 2 weeks ago. He has not been seen since. Evidence is mounting that the journalist is dead and that the Saudi royal family is involved. So what is Donald Trump saying about it? Plus, Senator Elizabeth Warren released her DNA results and found she has Native American heritage in her background. Will the president follow through on his promise to give $1 million to her favorite charity? Political junkie Ken Rudin is here to break down these stories and more. Welcome back, Ken.
Thank you, Frank.
Good to have you here. Let's talk about this Donald Trump response to the disappearance of Jamal Khashoggi. Talk about where he started and where he might be now.
Well, where he started was what he always does with autocrats he believes in or has a political stake in. He'll say that, well, I spoke to the king, I spoke to the Saudi king, I spoke to the crown prince, and they vehemently deny it. So, you know, just like Putin denied interfering in the U.S. election and Roy Moore denied, you know, he'll take denials because it suits his purpose. But then as more evidence seemed to indicate that the Saudi regime was behind Khashoggi's disappearance and likely murder, he started to soften his views in a little bit, saying, well, we don't know. We'll wait for an investigation. Maybe he's waiting for an FBI investigation. You know how thorough that can be. But at the same time, you know, he knows that, I mean, basically the issue with him was not about human rights and dignity and getting to the bottom of it. It was the fact that Saudi Arabia spends more money on U.S. military than any other country in the world, and he doesn't want to jeopardize that. But the last thing is, he has acknowledged that, well, Khashoggi is probably dead, and maybe the Saudi regime is responsible. We still need more evidence.
You know, it is interesting. He is very slow to come to criticize privileged leaders, autocrats, as you say, of Vladimir Putin, an autocrat, a dictator of his country, very close to the president, the Saudi royal family, multi-billionaires. Once again, the president says, there we go again, guilty until proven innocent. But it did put me in mind of this, that he said 1 year ago in New York when he was talking about, now these are common criminals, these are not privileged people he's talking about when he talks to a crowd in New York last year. Let's listen to this.
You see these towns, and when you see these thugs being thrown into the back of a paddy wagon, you just see them thrown in, rough. I said, please don't be too nice. Like when you guys put somebody in the car and you're protecting their head, you know, the way you put their hand over. Like, don't hit their head, and they've just killed somebody, don't hit their head. I said, you can take the hand away, okay?
So they've just killed somebody guilty according to Donald Trump. But there they are. But these are poor people he's talking about. They're not privileged like Brett Kavanaugh, like the Saudi royal family. It is interesting to see who gets the boot heel from the president and who doesn't.
And remember, for the longest time, he argued on that those five African-Americans and teenagers in Central Park were guilty. I can't remember if it was rape or murder, but even after the DNA cleared them, he insisted on their guilt. And, you know, so, you know, also something interesting, you know, he said the president said when he was talking about Khashoggi and one of the reasons why this crime is so heinous is that, well, he's a journalist. And I really feel strongly about that. And meanwhile, yesterday he goes into Montana for a rally there. And he talks about, he said about Greg Gianforte, the congressman, the congressman who body slammed a journalist to the floor, you know, last year. He said, any guy could do that, do a body slam to a reporter. He's my kind of guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's funny. He gets upset about what happened to this Saudi journalist, but an American journalist, that's fine.
Well, and he only gets upset, you know, sort of after the needle moved on the story. And this is what I want to talk to you about, because I find this fascinating. You know, the president has gotten away with these inconsistencies. His bedrock supporters aren't troubled by these things at all. And who gets the boot heel and who doesn't get the boot heel from the president? That doesn't trouble. But this is a story that seems to have shaken, to some degree, the administration. They're having Mnuchin has to pull out of the conference in Saudi Arabia. They're having to take this particular story about a foreign journalist very seriously. It seems it's a big story.
I think I think, well, it is a big story. And I think the reason Mnuchin backed out of that conference and the reason why the administration is back on it, rocked on their heels on this, is because the world is rocked on their heels on this. This is an atrocious, I mean, a gruesome a murder, a likely murder. And let's face it, this guy, Khashoggi, was a resident of the United States. He was an American journalist, a contributor for the Washington Post. Journalists knew him, diplomats knew him. And so, as actually the New York Times wrote an editorial today, this was a crime against America. So you're absolutely right. The president is often late to recognizing these kind of atrocities, especially when it's an ally who purchases U.S. Arms. Right. But the fact is that Jared Kushner and the president have put their lot behind the crown prince, and any kind of indication that he may be responsible just flies in the face of what he's been saying for the past several months.
He's been saying a lot on 60 Minutes recently. Let's talk about that conversation.
Well, that was remarkable in so many ways. I mean, I don't know where to even begin. The fact that climate change not only is not proven, but he said, well, maybe it could reverse itself on its own. Whenever there was talk about Russia interfering in the 2016 American election, he said, yeah, they probably interfered, but so did China. And I've seen no evidence about China. I don't see anybody being under investigation or indicted or pleading guilty for China. China.
Also, you know, he talked about Christine Blasey Ford, the woman who accused Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh of sexual assault. And I think his comments there were interesting as well.
Well, you know something, it's just, he says he gave complete respect to her. And, you know, in the beginning of the process, he was showing respect and said, let's wait to see what happens. But at the same time, he never questioned what Brett Kavanaugh told him. And yet he had this rally in Mississippi that was it was taunting her, mocking her, making fun of her. And again, what kind of lessons did he learn from the Me Too movement of all the women who came forward who have been sexually harassed, who have been sexually assaulted, as Christine Blasey Ford says she did, and yet he's mocking her? I don't remember. I don't know where I was. I don't know how many drinks I had. We've heard from women of such assaults that they don't remember these things because of the trauma involved. And to mock it, to make fun of it, to have a wild pack of hyenas laughing in the background, it sounded very Roman Coliseum-ish and very disturbing.
Talking to the political junkie today on The State of Things.
An angry political junkie.
Well, it gets even more like that. We talk about Stormy Daniels and using that kind of language, again, from the White House, the President of the United States of America.
I know that's him. I mean, look, this comes after the federal judge dismissed a defamation suit that Stormy Daniels did against the president. And the president was celebrating on Twitter by calling her horse face. I mean, we've seen with the comments about Carly Fiorina and Omarosa and Megyn Kelly and Miss America was fat and Heidi Cruz was ugly. And I shouldn't be laughing. He even talked about Kim Novak's looks. I mean, that's just remarkable. But here's the thing. We are less than two and a half weeks before the election. A majority of white women voted for Donald Trump in 2016. Certainly Republican women voted for Donald Trump in 2016. Will it play a role? I don't know. I mean, now I'm seeing more and more indications that the Republicans, at least in the Senate, are on kind of an upswing in certain races, but you know, I mean, just like the bus conversation he had with Billy Bush that was revealed several weeks before the election didn't ultimately play a role in it. I just wonder if either people are inured to everything or this could matter when it inspires people to vote.
A majority of the white women who voted, and a lot of white women didn't vote, and a lot of progressive voters didn't vote. That race had a lot of factors in it in 2016 that discouraged progressive voters from turning out at all. And so I guess the big question is, has there been enough to get those voters who sat it out in 2016 to the polls? And is there enough of a margin for the Republicans, because they're working overtime to get their base to the, but have they already maxed out? Have they gotten pretty close to everybody they're going to get? And is there a waiting surge of people who didn't vote in 2016 who are going to get to the polls in 18?
That's a very important question and an unanswerable question, because every presidential election, every election, a lot of people don't vote. But the untold, or maybe the less told story, is the efforts made by some states to discourage voting, to end early voting, to not keep over the voters, the voting booths open later, to insist on voter ID. So there are a lot of roadblocks being put in front of people who do want to vote. And that, you know, North Carolina knows that better than anybody. And the question is, what will some opponents of voting? Look, Native Americans in North Dakota are finding a difficulty. There are tens of thousands of voters in Georgia whose registration is suddenly under scrutiny. So there are gimmicks.
But by the Secretary of State who's running for governor.
Who's the Republican nominee. Right.
Yeah, exactly. So voter suppression is going to be a big question. The question is whether or not people actually, just push past it. And it'll be interesting to see. Ken, and I'm sure you're thinking about that election. And we'll probably talk more about it as our conversations continue.
As a matter of fact, after we get off the phone, I'll still be thinking about it, Frank.
Ken Rudin is the political junkie. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you, Frank.
Just ahead, a novel where the events of a single day shaped a family for generations. Speaking of voting, early voting is underway in the state of North Carolina. And whether you are registered or not, you can vote now. Get out and vote. Exercise your franchise. Don't let anybody stop you. Early voting is underway in the state of North Carolina. You can go to our website, stateofthings.org, to figure out how you get that done. You're listening to the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.